relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, friends, on this special day. I hope you're doing something fun, and if you're not, well, you're tuned into the right show. This is me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, host of the newest national show across the nation on the Salem Radio Network, America First, and so excited. We don't do reruns. We don't do bests of. This is unique, fresh content for you today, and I am so delighted to have one of our regulars, who we only get about 15, 20 minutes with every week, but Baron Boris is with us for the full hour. Boris Epstein, welcome to our special edition of America First.
Seb, great to be with you. Happy President's Day, Americans. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so excited to be talking to you, and I couldn't be more excited to be here with my good friend, Mr. Seb Gorka.
Especially because we have a new podcast.
Yes, we do.
Have you subscribed? It's the Battle for 1600. Both of us looking very cool in that image that John, our social media maven, has created for us. We have created, in addition to the America First show and everything else we do across the globe and Boris's Breakfast with Boris and everything else, we have an exclusive new podcast that deals with the insanity of the next 260 days until the election, the Battle for 1600. Subscribe for free today at the iTunes podcast app and everywhere else you get your podcasts downloaded. Let's talk this hour about things that typify the last 3.5 years and the less than a year ahead that we have, Boris. But first things first, for those who haven't listened to the first episode, and it is a corker, we didn't rehearse it. We sat down and we just did stream of consciousness for an hour on the Battle for 1600, and it was great. Even halfway through, I get a text from Mr. Jim, my producer, "This is really good." And then Leroy afterwards says, "Wow. Yes, guys, it is that good." Let's recap a little bit for those who haven't heard that podcast yet, but who will be subscribing. Boris, who are you and where did you come from? Because you do not hail from the greatest nation on God's earth. You are a proud American. But
I am.
What's your family history, Boris?
Well, and thank you for asking, and I'm always proud to talk about the great American story, really, that I'm so honored to have lived so far and hope to continue for a long time. We came here in 1993 From the ruins of post-socialist attempted communist Soviet Union, we came with six of us. It was me as an 11-year-old, my parents in their 30s, my dad's parents in their 70s, and my mom's mom, who was in her 60s.
Wow.
We came here as a small family. Five of us lived in one apartment in Brooklyn. My mom's mom lived in an apartment a few blocks away. And, you know, we didn't have much. Thankfully, we had my parents' education. My dad's an applied math PhD, part of that brain drain, the Jewish brain drain that came from the former Soviet Union to America, part of merit-based immigration. We waited for a long time, about 2 years, to be able to come, followed all the process. We are legal immigrants and proud of that. And so that was the beginning of our American story, living there in Brooklyn. You know, I remember my grandfather, who was this wonderful man. His name was Solomon. I named my son after him.
Solomon. What a great name.
I named my son after my grandpa. In Jewish tradition, you don't name after the living. So my grandpa passed away in 2003. My little boy was born in 2016, the year of President Trump's election.
Very nice.
And I named him Solomon. So I remember going into a store with my grandpa when we first came, the day after we came. And you know, my grandfather was a World War II hero. He fought the Nazis for 4 years.
As a Jewish Russian
member of the Red Army, member of the Allies with Britain and the United States, fought the Nazis for 4 years, was a history professor. And then he experienced what it was like in Soviet Union when it was falling apart, when you had to wait 3 hours for bread, when you had no food. My grandma had to make cheese. So I remember the day after we came.
So literally, you just landed, you slept one night.
Correct.
You go out and you check out an American store.
Exactly.
And what happened? What was his reaction?
We landed, slept, had to go get our social security numbers, and across the street there was a supermarket, like a Giant or a Wawa's at the time.
Right.
And we walk in and we look and there's, 50 brands of yogurt, 37 brands of cereal. And my grandpa looks up and he was 93, grandpa was 78 years old. And he looks up and goes, "Mama, can you believe this?" He was just awed at what America has. And
that must be hard to live through that, to have seen the deprivation, not just of the Soviet communist era, but World War One.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, World War Two, for example. And then arrive. I mean, how do your senses, how do you actually internalize that? Because you've gone from just deprivation to more choice than you can count.
Literally. We left on, I believe it was September 7th. We landed on the 8th. This is the 9th. On September 7th, we were at a store, and there was nothing. Literally, imagine walking into a market.
With empty shelves.
With empty shelves.
Right.
And on 2 days, 48 hours later, we are witnessing what America has to offer. And I remember, I'm 38, I'm 37, I was 11 back then. I remember like it was 2 seconds ago.
You really remember this?
I remember that we were in the cereal aisle. I remember like it was 2 seconds. And they had a 2-for-1 deal where you could get, two Raisin Bran for one. I was like, oh my goodness gracious. But I was a kid. And, keep in mind, we were in Moscow. We weren't even in the outskirts of the country. This is how bad it was. I used to get orange juice as part of my New Year's present.
As a treat? As a gift?
Correct.
Right.
And here we are. So,
what kind of orange juice? Pulp, no pulp, a little bit of pulp?
Exactly. Yeah, middle pulp, a little bit of pulp, a lot of pulp. And then do you want Tropicana? You want Minute Maid? What do you want? Anything you want. But America is not about an overabundance of supply. America is about strength. America is about honor. America is about all that is good with the world today. America is a place that people like us who wanted to leave.
Legal immigrants. Like myself.
Like you and like me and like our families. And we made something of it. And it's the greatest land of opportunity.
But also, that's absolutely true when we talk about the values outside of what you saw in that grocery store. But the choice that you and your grandfather saw, that was a function of why free markets work.
Right.
It wasn't the government saying you get 2-for-1 all brand, right?
No.
It was the free market,
correct,
the success, the freedom, the choice, the entrepreneurship. Does it shock you that what you've lived through is the opposite of what the Democrat Party is trying to sell today?
No, because the left has... doesn't shock me. It worries me to some way, but I'm confident enough And we're seeing it now at the polls. We're seeing it with the lack of turnout for Democrats, that the American people will always see through it. But if you look at the history of America, you have consistently had this drive from the left to overthrow the American system.
Yes.
And especially, you know, 20th century, Eugene Debs, on and up through the 60s, the 70s, and now...
Gus Hall, the man that that Brennan voted for, the Communist Party candidate for president.
Of course. You know, the guy who, taught, you know, sort of the far left how to stand up against, against the right and how, you know, how to be effectively socialist terrorists, right? We've experienced all of that here in America, but it's always been defeated and it's going to be defeated again. And that's why you're seeing this marginalization of the left. And I'll tell you this, Bernie Sanders, he may believe what he says. He may not believe what he says.
With his four houses.
Right. He's got the four houses. I think it's all hypocrisy. I don't think he truly stands for any of it. But you know what? If that's what the Democrats want to put forward, they can go and do it, because America's always going to fight through that absolute and total nonsense.
He is Boris Epstein. He is a member of the advisory board of the Trump 2020 campaign. Follow him on Twitter, Boris EP. Get his weekly briefings at breakfastwithboris.com. And don't forget to check out our brand new podcast with The Baron every week. It's Battle for 1600. Just go to the iTunes podcast store, wherever you get Stitcher, you name it, your podcast, and subscribe today. I'm Sebastian Gorka on this very special day with a full hour to analyze what you need to know, the real stories behind the fake news. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
We are back on this very special day. Excited to have in studio for the whole hour my buddy Boris Epstein of the Trump Campaign Advisory Board. Also, forgot to mention, he has to finish his story. He told us a great story as a child arriving from the former Soviet Union and what he saw in America. But then, come on, buddy, it's the American story. You ended up a special assistant to the President of the United States in the White House. I was your colleague. We had different mandates, but we'd say hi to each other, grab a coffee now and again. So tell us your story of how Boris got to the White House.
You know, first, there's a Donald Trump-specific story about it. We came in September of 1993, Thanksgiving of 1993. My parents take me. We take the subway. We take the B train from Brooklyn to Manhattan, and we watched the parade, the Thanksgiving Day parade. And then my parents walk, and we walk into...
Do you remember this stuff?
Like 2 seconds ago.
That's crazy.
Like 2 seconds ago. I remember the feeling. I remember having a hot dog at Rockefeller Center.
That's
fabulous. I
remember
all of it. And then Rockefeller Center, right, is on, call it 48th, I think, mm-hmm. and 5th. We walk up 7 blocks, 55th and 5th. We walk into this beautiful building with the red marble, and you look up and you have the fountain. What is it? It's Trump Tower.
Right.
And again, like 2 seconds ago, I remember, and I was looking up and I was in awe. It's just, it's beautiful. You've been there. It's gorgeous, right? Everything. It's Donald Trump at his best. And then that was 93. Fast forward 23 years, and there I was working as a senior advisor on the 14th floor, having the honor to go up to 26.
For the campaign.
For the campaign. Senior advisor on the campaign, 2016. Our office was on the 14th floor.
Right.
I had the honor of being able to go up to 26 freely to go
the
see
office.
The candidate, to see the office. And people have seen the picture of Donald Trump's, President Trump's office. You know, it's got all the cool memorabilia in it. And, you know how the president is. You've had the honor of working for him, as I have. He's so supportive, so welcoming, so positive. So that was a Trump story. My story is...
Can I just jump
sure.
in and interject there? Because I mentioned on the radio show, but I haven't gone into details. I called the president up recently, Sunday before last, and I left a message at the White House. He calls me back less than an hour later, Boris.
Right.
Okay, less than an hour, like 40 minutes. This is a Sunday.
Right.
First question, how's your lovely wife? Like, and he remembered her name.
I know.
I mean, that this is the president of the United States.
That's Donald Trump.
Negotiating with China, going, getting ready for a rally, dealing with the threat of Iran. How's your darling wife?
Right.
People don't realize this, do they?
They really don't. They don't know. Every time I see him, I talk to him. How's work? How's Sinclair? Say best to David Smith. How's your family?
And what he remembers is it's like a steel trap.
It's so thoughtful and again, so loyal and supportive
yes.
to those of us who chose not to be rats. Okay, very, very easy.
In this city.
Right. But if you think about it, if you're a good person
right.
and you've had the honor of working for Donald Trump, he will treat you like gold.
But can I just, let's talk about this for a second because there's too many examples of rats. And let's take politics out of it for a second. Even if it's a Democrat president and a political appointee who's working for them as a deputy or an assistant or a special assistant and they leave, I don't think they should be writing kiss and tells. I don't think, you know, Susan Rice should be writing kiss
Nobody.
And tells about Obama. And then you see this garbage from Scaramucci, from Omarosa.
Cliff Sims.
You just, guys, this is the ultimate act of trust to become a politically commissioned officer of the president. I can't think, I mean, short of being a security guard at a nuclear power station. I mean, and that's not personal. That's an objective thing. This is the ultimate, you know, mark that, hey, Boris, I trust you so much. I want you to be my special assistant. And then to basically defecate on that with a kiss and tell book. It's just, isn't it part of what the swamp has become, Boris?
It's disgusting. And, you know, it's sad for me to have seen some of these people who I did work closely with,
yeah.
you know, go and do that. And I guess it's all about the money. People just want money that bad.
And the know? Fame, I guess. I think they're going to have their 2 seconds of
on the
fame.
They want that interview on The View. They want to go on The View. Oh, my God. I can't
you
wait.
You can pay me. There is not that amount of money to go on The View.
I'd go.
Well, yeah, but not to be nice, but to destroy
exactly.
them.
I'd go.
to stand
like,
up for MAGA.
Just like Don Jr. did.
Yes.
And stand up for MAGA. Stand up for the president. Like Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle did. I would do that. But to go and somehow, you know, say negative things about the president and in that way discredit what we've done. It was just, it's unfair. There's no amount of money. You know, right. some people got big, you know, big advance checks.
But then look at what happens afterwards.
Nothing,
they totally flame out.
Totally.
Who is Omarosa? Who is Scaramucci today?
Nobody.
Nobody. They're figures of fun. They're figures of ridicule.
People laugh at them. It's a total joke.
So you're on the campaign and then what happens?
So, you know,
you're helping out with the campaign stuff.
So story goes back a little early. So I was, I'm a Georgetown undergrad, Georgetown Law. I was a lawyer on Wall Street at one of those fancy firms. I couldn't stand being a lawyer. So I took a sabbatical, and I worked for the McCain campaign as a good Republican against Barack Obama in 2008. I was the second person on the ground in Alaska when Governor Palin was named.
No way.
Yeah, I spent 2 weeks up there. They called me the fixer, like Michael Clay.
Boris the fixer.
I had a black car.
I like that.
I had a black car. I didn't shave for 2 weeks. I had a black leather jacket.
Did you have a beard? Did Boris have a beard?
Yeah, it came out. You know?
Ooh, were you scary? Was Boris scary?
Well, you know.
The fixer.
I'll let others judge that.
Let's call Saul. No, let's call Boris.
So we had that, you know, we had that experience. Then, you know, John McCain lost, Barack Obama won. I went back to the law firm, couldn't be a lawyer. 6 months later, left, joined a boutique financial firm, investment bank. It was pretty much a startup that had been failing. Grew it, bought a second one.
Wow.
Merged those two together. And then
you're living the American dream, buddy.
Do what we can, right? And then I started going out on TV as a talking head, right?
Economic stuff, finance stuff.
Actually, more political stuff. More political stuff, Republican strategy stuff. And it started in New York in 2008 on Fox. Then remember Fox had the strategy room? It was the Fox.com, FoxNews.com. Did that, and I did it with some of our friends. Eric Bowling was a host. Kimberly Guilfoyle was a host. It was actually a blast. We had a lot of fun.
The president see you on that? What's the connection?
And then, so that was 2008. Then I was a surrogate for Romney in 2012. You know, again, I'm a Republican, so I supported the Republican nominee. And then Romney lost. As Donald Trump says, should have won, but lost. And then, you know, fast forward, and then I started going out on TV a lot again in 2015, supporting the president. The president saw me, and I went from being a supporter to a surrogate to a senior advisor overseeing the surrogates. Only in America, only with Donald Trump. I was a guy on the phone, one of maybe 100 of us on the phone as one of the surrogates. And then a week later, I was leading the phone call. Because you know what? Donald Trump said that I was the new king of the circuits. That's
it's
what he
like,
said.
It's like my buddy, your buddy, Dan Scavino.
That's right.
He was, what was he? He was a golf club manager or something. Well, first he caddied for
and then
the thing. And then when the president realized, hey, I need somebody who's good at social media, and Dan, you are good. And he has been the president's right hand. So when if it's not the president who's tweeting, it's Dan.
Right.
And he is superb. And that man,
so good.
He works almost as hard as the president. Dan, if you're listening, keep doing what you do.
Big kudos.
Yeah, big, big kudos. Here from the Baron, the Fixer, and me. I got a fact. Dr. G's not enough. He's got two nicknames now. I need another nickname. This is America First. Don't forget, we are live streaming YouTube video, Facebook, and after the show finishes at 6, we post every hour on Instagram TV. So follow us. Follow me, Seb Gorka, on Twitter, Sebastian Gorka on Facebook, Sebastian_Gorka on Instagram, and this man, Boris EP, I like that, on Twitter. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Is it true, Boris? A little bird told me you've got an Instagram account.
I do, and I'm getting it rolling. I'm very excited about it.
Well, let's put some photographs up of you in studio.
Let's do it.
What's the title?
Boris _ and my full last name, Epstein. E-P-S-H-T-E-Y-N.
I love that you got a Y. Makes you different.
I know. And
Boris
the H.
Epstein, yeah. The H and the Y. Boris _ Epstein on Instagram. We'll give you content. We are back on this special President's Day episode of America First, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, and then Instagram TV after the show airs. Let's get to work. We've heard your story. It's a fabulous story. If you want to know more, you've got to subscribe to our new podcast with The Baron, with Baron Boris. It's called Battle for 1600. Just go to your podcast app and subscribe today. It's free, and we will update you on the war to win in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I have to share this. I need your comment on this. This is Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Given your background, your family leaving the collapsing former Soviet Union, this is a shocking, shocking audio. Let's play cut one, AOC.
I'm Joe Billionaire. I made widgets. I sold those widgets. I made billions selling those widgets, making those widgets. Therefore, those billions of dollars are mine. Why am I the enemy of healthcare?
Well, you didn't make those widgets, did you? Because you employed thousands of people and paid them less than a living wage to make those widgets for you. You didn't make those widgets. You sat on a couch while thousands of people were paid modern-day slave wages, and in some cases real modern-day slavery, depending on where you are in terms of food production. You made that money off the backs of undocumented people. You made that money off of the backs of black and brown people being paid off a living wage, under a living wage. You made that money off of the backs of single mothers. And all of these people who are literally dying because they can't afford to live. And so no one ever makes $1 billion. You take $1 billion.
No one ever makes $1 billion. They take it while they're sitting on a couch by using, and this is direct quotes from AOC, slavery, undocumented brown people, and dying single mothers. Where in America does that happen, Boris? You know, dying single mothers.
AOC has no idea. This is the same woman who recently said that in America you can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps. She was saying that the American dream is a crack. She was a bartender. Now she's a congresswoman.
Not only that, the face of the Democrats.
And you know what? To your earlier point, a guy like me, a guy like you, we came here. And the ending of the story I was telling you is I went from being a senior advisor on the campaign, communication director on the inaugural, and then had the honor of working with you at the White House. So that can happen in this country. There's no other country in the world where you can truly achieve that.
We're not a brown single mother, I guess.
And
Is that the problem for AOC? Is it a race thing?
She just doesn't get it. And that's either, or maybe she does get it, but she's lying, like I think Bernie Sanders says.
Does she get it? Oh, come on. This is a woman who thought Milton Keynes was a famous economist. I mean, seriously, come on.
No, she doesn't get it. She is living in a dream world. She is living in the world of Rashida Tlaib, who was triggered. She was triggered.
Triggered by what?
As a woman. She was triggered as a woman when she heard the name of a Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. She was triggered. First of all, you know, I asked a good friend of mine, Greg Roberk, who was with me on an inaugural, a great supporter of ours from Arizona. I asked him, what does triggered even mean? Okay? And, you know, we both went to law school together. So, you know, we're not...
Did he have an answer?
We're not the dumbest of guys. None of us could really come up with what triggered truly means.
That's a good question.
You know, what do you think? How would you define triggered?
It's when somebody's telling the truth and you don't like it.
I like that.
How's that for triggered?
When the truth upsets you.
Well, yes!
It's when
I like that. When the truth... Okay, that's got to be a title for this segment. When the truth...
Calling Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
We've got it. When the truth upsets you,
when
that is triggered.
Upsets you.
Next, we'll have to work on microaggressions. What are microaggressions?
I don't know. What is this? Like when you're little, when you
punch somebody but you don't connect. Is that like a microaggression? It's like an air punch?
I don't know. I got another one for you. Safe space.
Safe space.
I think that's where you go when the truth upsets you.
Okay, that's when you that's where you go to hide from the truth.
Correct.
And to avoid the microaggressions.
Right.
And drink your soy lattes.
You got to drink the soy lattes. You know? The vegan soy lattes. You have to have them.
Rocking Phoenix.
You know.
He didn't know that cows make milk. Shock horror.
They're forced.
Has he ever had a cheeseburger? I just want to know. Joaquin Phoenix, have you ever had a cheeseburger?
Probably crushing him by the dozen.
Because the cheese is actually made from milk as well. Oh, my gosh. Too much fun. Boris Epstein. Follow him right now. Instagram, Boris_Epstein with an H and a Y. And on Twitter, Boris EP. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Follow us. Our new podcast is The Battle for 1600. Back with Boris in a moment.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
We're having artistic discussions here in the break. We've designed the new image for our podcast with the Baron. It's up on the screens now if you're watching us on YouTube.
I love it.
I love that tie. That stripy kind of pink and blue tie. That's a power tie.
Power tie.
Is that from the finance? Is that from the Wall Street tie?
Power suit, power tie. Remember in Boiler Room? Because look at me. Power suit, power tie, power name.
Is that why you don't wear a tie with me? Because we're having fun.
You know, I like to take it easy. You know, I like to relax.
So with me, it's the pocket square. I love the pocket square. Guys, I know radio is cool, but you got to see his pocket square. It's a little paisley, a little orange, a little blue.
You know what's crazy? Want to see something?
Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh! The lining of his jacket is the same paisley craziness.
You know why?
It's not a pocket square. You pulled out the pocket.
It's a puff pocket.
You are a genius. What a smooth dandy you are. I love that lining. Okay, one more time. Show everybody the lining.
Fine. What's the lining? Boom!
Boom! Okay, if you're falling asleep, you look at the lining, you'll wake straight
up. One more time. For those of you.
Ready? Three,
two, one.
Go!
Boom!
Oh, I like that. That is very cool. All right, stop it, boys. Behave. We've got serious work to do. I need to go back to what you said earlier, because it kind of was a little bit of a wake-up for me. I asked you, are you surprised by how the Democrats are just pushing socialism hardcore now in 2020? And you said no, because this is what they've been doing consistently. Right. And it's like, dude, you're so right. Why should we be surprised? This is not a new thing for us. It's just more overt, and it's more in your face, right?
Well, if you think about it, right, was it Saul Alinsky, was it? That was I'm not going to say he was Obama's teacher. Some have said that. So.
No, Hillary interned with him. Yeah. Hillary interned with him. And then Obama, this is important, guys. The only photograph, the only one you can find on the internet of Obama, constitutional law professor teaching, is what? Check it out, guys. It is him in front of a blackboard diagramming out Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, the only photograph you can find. So there's a connection.
Here's what I'll tell you. I think that the left has for a very long time, since effectively Bill Clinton, because you got to give it to Bill Clinton. If you ran today, probably a Republican. Okay, Bill Clinton was not a true far-left liberal.
No, he was a pragmatist, who had a problem with women.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
With a zipper. The problem with having the women is his own. It's not the women were his problem. It's that his own behavior was his problem.
Correct.
Guy couldn't control himself. So, you know, he was not a far leftist, Clinton.
No.
But Carter was.
Yes.
Here's something that's interesting. I was watching a documentary on the 1992 election. Since 1968, between 68 and 92, how many presidential elections do you think Democrats won between 68 and 92?
Right, we'll work it out. Right, we're working out.
About 24 years.
You mean presidential?
Presidential.
Well, we've got Carter, and we've got Clinton, and we've got Obama.
So Clinton was 92. From 68, so 68, Nixon wins.
Right.
72, Nixon wins.
Right.
76
is Carter. Right.
80, Reagan. 84, Reagan. Then 88, Bush, H.W. Bush.
H.W.
So, one. Between 68 and 92, when Clinton won, they won Carter. And the only reason Carter won is because Nixon got himself in hot water.
Correct.
If not for that.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that they're weaker than we think they are?
What I'm saying is that if not for Bill Clinton and the move of Democrats to the middle.
Now, this is important. This is important. Because I've said for years now that what we are seeing with the Democrats is because there are no adults and pragmatists left. I hate Bill Clinton because I don't think, you know, a guy who's in his 50s who's having sex with a 21-year-old in the Oval Office, sorry, dude, you got some serious issues. But he wasn't an extremist politically.
He wasn't.
And he'd rein in the crazies.
Right.
Who's reining in the crazies today, Boris?
Nobody.
I mean, it's not Nancy. It's not Chuck.
No. Nancy and Chuck don't say a word when Rashida Tlaib spouts anti-Semitism.
Same
with Ilhan Omar. When AOC says absolute nonsense. Nancy Pelosi was forced by her caucus to ram through this sham of an impeachment. She couldn't even take her time. She wasn't even allowed by her own caucus to take her time. They have no power over their own caucus, over their own party. So what I'm saying to you is this. I believe that if not for Bill Clinton, and if not for that move to the middle, you wouldn't have seen a Democrat president probably until 08,
That's fascinating analysis. Okay, so what does that mean for us, for America, for the Republic in the next 250-odd days? I know, you don't have to say this, I'm going to say it. The left is going to lie, steal, and cheat as much as they can when it comes to the general election. Soros is spending huge amounts of money, very wisely. I mean, he's a sneaky bastard. He's spending it in local elections,
local
prosecutors, county level. I mean, really smart stuff where a little bit of money goes a long way. It looks as if the clown car is still a clown car. But can we take anything for granted, Boris?
You have to stay vigilant.
Okay.
That's why you can't be surprised, because you have to stay vigilant. You have to know what you're up against. What we are up against is a far-left party in what the Democrats have become. It's truly now the Democrat Socialist Party as a whole.
Yeah.
But you have to stay vigilant in pushing back and fighting against them. Now, it looks like Joe Biden's already given up on New Hampshire. He's off to South Carolina.
Yeah, he gave up a few days ago.
Eric thinks he's going to finish fifth, and I think that's realistic. I think that's the base case.
So who's going to be the nominee, Boris?
So here's what you're looking at right now. Bernie, I'll call it either tied or won Iowa. Bernie's going to win New Hampshire.
Right.
South Carolina's coming up. Biden looks like he may lose South Carolina, or he'll win and Bernie will be second. So that brings you then to Nevada, which is a caucus. So it'll be a disaster. Bernie probably wins. Then you're off to
Nevada?
Yeah, in Nevada. It's a caucus again. And they were going to use the same app that Iowa was using.
Don't make me laugh when I'm drinking coffee.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I hope they got you filing enough milk in there. So in Nevada, it's going to be the same app. And now they're saying maybe they won't use it. Reports out of their training for the caucuses in Nevada are that it was a disaster, another dumpster fire. So then you're looking at Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that is the first time that Bloomberg is going to be in it. Now, I'm not sold on the Bloomberg candidacy, but I'm sold on the fact that Bloomberg's got a lot of money. There's no way
around it. Somebody told me yesterday, was it this morning, I need to be worried about Bloomberg. I don't get it.
Did you see what happened today? Bloomberg's comments came out on what he said about stop and frisk.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is, listen, those comments were smart and on the point. Except he can't say them when you're running as a Democrat.
Can't say them now.
Right.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. Check out our brand new podcast with the Baron. Put that visual up on YouTube. It is the Battle for 1600. Eric, there you go. Look at that. Look at those two guys. That's a power shot in front of the White House. That's the Battle for 1600 with me and Baron Boris Epstein. Check it out. And wherever you get your podcasts, I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Most awesome pipes in talk radio, Sebastian Gorka.
It's always fun when the Baron is in the studio. He is Boris Epstein. Follow him, Boris EP on Twitter, Boris _ Epstein on Instagram. And don't forget our brand new podcast. Yes, indeed. Check it out. It's the Battle for 1600 with me and Boris and special guests. And please, we're going to rotate the third guest through every week. If you've got recommendations, requests, text us on our patriotmobile.com text line 703-869-1262. That's 703-869-1262. Boris, in the last 2 minutes we have here on this special day with you, what is your message? You're a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. You left the crumbling former Soviet Union as a child. You ended up in the White House. Incredible story. What is your message to those who, unlike us, aren't in the political bloodstream every single day, aren't sure about the president, haven't really been very political, but, you know, are pretty happy about the last 3 years? What do you say to them about the stakes in November?
You have to vote. You have to vote. You can't make the mistake. You can't sit and be idle and not be active. Defend our country. It's truly a battle for 1600, which is the address of the White House. It is a battle for the future of this country. It is a battle for the soul of this country. It's a battle that I'm so proud we won a major, major, major part of in 2016. But we now need to win again. And we have to keep winning to beat back the scourge of far-left liberalism.
Yeah.
The scourge of socialism. We cannot allow our country to become Venezuela.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if you were there. I was there with Jeff. We were in the floor of the stadium when we launched the president's reelection campaign in Orlando.
Yes,
and Don Jr., who we had on the show last week, he warmed up the crowd. I see a political career in that man's future, and he said, and it's so stuck with me. He said, "Guys, it's so simple. November 2020 is the choice between socialism and liberty." It's really that easy, isn't it, Boris?
It is that easy. It is that easy. Our country is at stake. We have to make sure that all of these gains of these last 3+ years, unbelievable gains, cut taxes, historic highs on the stock market,
defeat ISIS,
historic lows on unemployment, defeat of ISIS, the killing of Baghdadi, of that disgusting dog, that terrorist al-Baghdadi, the annihilation of Soleimani, just a finger was left. Soleimani, who was the terror czar, he was the terror mastermind for the Iranians. All of these successes, the trade deal with China, the USMCA, we cannot allow the left to come in and overturn all of it. We have to fight.
It's that easy. Stay the course. Never take anything for granted. Keep with Team MAGA and Boris and me. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and our new podcast, The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. God bless you all.
God bless.